You ought to live by your rules or kick him out. And he ought to be in the house of God. And my dad made me go to church, and so I started attending church again, November of 1978. My immediate interests in going back every week was because I saw a long-haired brunette girl who I thought was really good looking at the time. And so that kept me going each and every week in November. But God, the Holy Spirit, began to work on my heart. And then by March of the next year, I called my brother George. I said, George, I'd like to come down and see you. I haven't seen him in years. He went to school in 1972, and I never saw him again. And it was now 1979. I wanted to go see him. And so he said, well, come on down. So I was going to go down to see him where he was living as a Bible college student. Problem was that weekend my car broke down. Broke down, so I couldn't fix it. I just couldn't figure out how to fix it. And I had to call him and said, George, sorry, I can't come down. How about next weekend? He said, yeah, come on down next weekend. Got my car fixed. Got down there. And when I got to his apartment, he was very, very apologetic. He said, Art, I never thought about this when I told you to come down, but all weekend is missions conference, and we as students are required to go. Now, as I look back at that, I believe it was God's sovereign will that my car broke down and that I couldn't get it fixed till the next weekend. And I went down there, and there I was as a long-haired, backslidden believer in Christ. And I said to George, I said, well, would you mind if I went? And he said, no, not at all, I guess. And so I had these old ratty clothes and my long hair, and I went in there, and all these Bible college students there with their nice haircuts and their suits and ties and so on and so forth. And I sat in that auditorium with several thousand people and heard Dr. Stephen Olford preach the Word of God. His sermon was titled that day, Each One, Reach One. And he spoke about missions, how every one of us ought to be a missionary. Every one of us ought to try to reach another soul for Jesus Christ. It's a debt we owe to try to share the gospel with somebody else. And God got a hold of my heart at a missions conference, and I surrendered my life completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. I repented with tears. I confessed every sin I could think of that day to the Lord, and I have never to this day gone back on that decision to give my whole life to Jesus Christ that day. So my life was changed at a missions conference, so I became missions-minded. And pretty soon, through giving, faith promised missions giving, that I became missions-hearted. I remember the first time our church did this, probably 15, 18 years ago, with great apprehension. I, as the pastor, said, well, I'm going to give so much to missions, and I remember putting down $5 a week I was going to give to missions over and above the tithe. And I can remember back then thinking, how am I going to possibly afford $5 a week out of my budget? I don't have enough to make ends meet and to pay expenses, but that's why the first word is faith. Faith. If I could afford it, we wouldn't need faith, would we? And so I put down $5, and I started giving $5 over and above extra to missions every single week. And pretty soon, by the end of that year, that $5 was nothing. It was like I never missed it. In fact, I was almost embarrassed that I had given so little to missions. So the next year I upped it to 10. I said, boy, now I'm really leaping out there by faith. I'm in the deep end now. And God's going to have to come through with me. And to make a long story short, by the end of that year, $10 was nothing for me to give to missions. And the next year I said, I'm going to give 15 every week. And this is for my wife and I. And so we started putting $15 in missions every single week. And I didn't know how we were going to do that. But by the end of the year, that $15, I never missed it. I was almost embarrassed to give God so little. I said, wow, that was nothing. I think I'll make it 20. And then I think I'll make it the next year 25, and then 30, and then 35, and then 40, and then 45, and then 50, and then 55, and then 60, and then 65, and this year 70. Every single week, over and above the tithe of my gross income. And my wife gives the faith promise an amount God has laid on her heart, and she never collects a paycheck. And as every year ends, I look at that amount and say, boy, I'm almost embarrassed about that. We didn't even miss it. We didn't even miss it. And what am I saying? I'm saying is that our faith is growing. through giving the missions, God is proving himself over and over and over to us as he said he would in our text today of Philippians chapter 4. And so I want to encourage you to get started in giving to missions on a weekly basis. It may be $1. You say, man, I can't even afford that. I got so much debt up to here, I'm almost drowning in it. But God will take note of you, and I want to prove that to you from the Bible. And then as you give, the scripture says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Then you'll become missions hearted. I've got a lot of treasure going into missions. In fact, I figured it out one day that if I didn't get to missions, I could buy myself a brand new car every 4 years and drive a brand new car. But Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. And boy, I don't know about you. I'm fighting rust right now. I got this 2001 Cavalier, and I was doing some work on it there. And three places I saw rust coming through this week. And, you know, but it gets me around. It's fine. Simple transportation. You know, I got to do this to get the windows up. But that's all right, and I got to keep my foot on the pedal because I don't have any cruise control. And I said, it's all right, just pay attention to what you're doing. But it gets me around, and God has taken care of the need, and I thank him for it. And so I want to encourage you to step out by faith today, and ask the Lord what he'd have you to do. Now, so I don't manipulate you, let's just bow our heads right now and close our eyes in a word of prayer. And I want to lead you in a word of prayer because the card says the amount God has laid on my heart. And I want you to pray a prayer to God something like this. Not out loud, but just say something like, Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd give me a heart for missions. Thank you, Lord, for those who cared for me to bring me the gospel. Lord, help me to care for others. I pray for everyone in the world to be saved, like I am. Now, Lord, I pray thy Holy Spirit would lay on my heart what you'd have me to do so everyone in the world and hear the gospel about your Son, Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, help me not to be manipulated, not to make an emotional decision, but to make a spiritual one today. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's look at the scriptures. I think one of the greatest texts that shows us the importance of giving to missions on a regular basis in Philippians chapter 4, just so you don't think faith promise missions giving is something that doesn't have a biblical basis, let's look at this text this morning of Philippians chapter number 4, beginning at verse 10, and later we'll, as time permits, look at a chart that I passed out. But in Philippians chapter number 4, verse 10, the Apostle Paul wrote this book. It's one of 14 New Testament books he wrote. There's 27, so he wrote about half of the New Testament. And so I'm sure most of you have heard about the Apostle Paul. Now, we often use that word, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul. What does the word apostle mean? Somebody just yell it out. What does the word apostle literally mean in the Greek? The original language, whatever. It means one sent. One sent. Jesus one time prayed and said, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. Every one of us are sent by the Lord. We're all to be apostles or to do the work of an apostle. Now today in America, we don't use that word in the church. We probably should, we could, and it would not be inaccurate. But what is the synonym we use today when we talk about somebody who is an apostle? What do we call them? We call them a missionary. We call them one who is sent. We call them missionaries. Now, When we go out as men on Saturday, or you go out on the bus route, or whatever you do, when you leave the walls of this church and you go to your neighborhood and you find somebody and you try to share the gospel with them, like we were trying to share the gospel with people yesterday out on visitation, we are doing the work of missionaries. We are taking the gospel farther than it's ever gone before. And that could be just across the street to somebody who's never heard it. We're all missionaries. But when we call people apostles by title in the church, we're talking about missionaries in the sense, and usually we mean those that are maybe going to a foreign country. And so the apostle Paul, the missionary Paul, is writing this letter, and he says, beginning in verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last," circle these next four words, "your care of me." Your care of me. Now he's writing to the church at Philippi. The church of Philippi is one of three fantastic churches that we know of in a region in Europe called Macedonia. Macedonia, back then it was called Macedonia, and it was about a region about the size of Georgia, about the state of Georgia. Now, I'm sure there was churches all over that area, but there are three very famous churches in that region, and it's the most highly spoken of region, of all the regionalized churches that there were. The churches in Macedonia were started by the Apostle Paul. The first one he started was the church at Philippi. And here he's writing back to them. He's in prison. He's doing mission work, and he's writing back to them. That's why this book is called Philippians, because he's writing to those in Philippi. After that, he went to another town called Thessalonica, and he started a church there. The books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians are written to that church that he started in Macedonia. And then we know he went to at least one other place called Berea. And he started a church in Berea. All three of these amazing churches are in that region called Macedonia. Berea was a noble church. It says they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things that were so, and they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. So they just loved the word. They loved to hear the preaching. And then after they heard the preaching, they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And that was a task, because usually you had to go to the synagogue where the scrolls were, and open up the scrolls. They didn't have Bibles to carry home or New Testaments. They had to go to the synagogue, and that indicates they went every single day to find out if what the preacher was saying was true. They weren't critical in their spirit. They were humble in their spirit, but they wanted to be sure. They were Bible students, great churches, and Philippi was a great church. And one of the things that made them great was those four words in verse 10, "Your care of me hath flourished again." Your care of me, the missionary, the Apostle Paul. Paul got saved on the road to Damascus. He became a member of the church at Antioch. He became a faithful teacher in the church at Antioch. And the Holy Spirit, as he ministered unto the Lord, said, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work whereto I have sent them." And then Paul went with Barnabas on his first tour through Asia and through Europe, starting churches. We called it a missionary trip. He would go into a town. He would win people to Jesus Christ. He would baptize them. He would assemble them together as disciples in what we call a congregation or a called-out assembly, is what literally the word church means. And then he would train elders, and sometimes he would stay 2 or 3 years in those towns. For instance, like in Ephesus in Acts 20, it tells us about that. And then he would ordain elders in every single city, and then he'd move to the next town. He'd win souls to Christ there, baptize them, make them disciples, assemble them in a congregation, find an elder and ordain him and place him over that congregation. Then he'd go to the next town, and he took 3 huge journeys, and they're documented for us in the New Testament, at least 3 missionary journeys where he established churches everywhere. And it says here that the church at Philippi saw what he was doing, and their care of him flourished again. Wherein you were all so careful, you paid a lot of attention to the fact that I was out there, and Paul wasn't alone. Sometimes he was with Barnabas, sometimes with Silas, sometimes with Mark, always with Luke. Now he said here, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And so he's writing to the church at Philippi, and he says, it's not a matter of want or covetous or anything like that that I'm writing this to you. He says, I just want to compliment you for your care of me, that you cared for me. He says, I trust in the Lord. I couldn't make it on my own with the Lord's grace, but you sure do help me. You sure do help me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, verse 13, notwithstanding, verse 14. It sure helps that you're helping me. Look at verse 14. Notwithstanding, you have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. You did communicate. That word communicate means to share with, to become an associate or partner. You have become an associate and a partner with me at the church in Philippi. You have shared with me. You are now associates and partners with me in my missionary work. Verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, that is, in the beginning of my missionary journeys, when I departed from Macedonia, after I started the church in Philippi, then Thessalonica, and then Berea. Then he left, ran for his life. He had to go down to Athens, which was in Achaia, and then he went into Asia, and I believe Paul started the seven churches of Asia that you read about in Revelations 2 and 3. And then he went back to Macedonia and the Thessalonica. But notice what it says here in verse 15. Now you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, in other words, when I left you, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now here's the pattern in verse 16. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Notice the pattern there of a church sending once and again to the necessity of a missionary while he's on his missionary journey. And that's what we do at Faith Promise. We do exactly what the church of Philippi did in the first century. Now, they may have not done it on a weekly basis. I'm sure things were a lot harder back then, or a monthly basis, like we do. I'm sure with the communicating, and they didn't have the postal system we have, and so on and so forth. But the pattern is there. The pattern is there. No church communicated with me. I only had one supporting church. What he's saying, while I was doing my missionary work there in Macedonia, in Asia, in Achaia, in Thessalonica. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Now verse 17 is important, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. See, Paul said, I'm not in it for the money. I'm not writing this to try to get money out of you. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, what is that talking about? That is talking about the account in heaven. Did you know that our God is writing all the time? God keeps the accounts, and that's what Jesus implied when he said in Matthew 6:19, and I quoted this a little bit earlier, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But listen to verse 20, Matthew 6. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now it must be possible to lay up treasures in heaven, or Jesus would not have said it. See, God is keeping the accounts. Certainly the God who has the hairs of our head all numbered must keep an account of what we're given to missions. Certainly the God who never sees a sparrow fall to the ground and die, but that he notices it, he must notice what we give to missions. He must. Certainly the God who counts every time, according to the Psalms, that we sit down and stand up, and sit down and stand up, and sit down and stand up, that God certainly, if he's counting the number of times we sit down and stand up, must be aware of what we're given to missions. Certainly the God who said, if you'll give a cup of cold water unto one of these little ones that believe in me, you'll not lose your reward. Certainly if somebody gives a cup of cold water in Jesus' name to a thirsty little kid, we'll be rewarded for that. Certainly there must be a reward for those that give money to missions. There must be. Our God is writing all the time, the old black spiritual used to say. And he's keeping the account. And Paul here says, it's not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. And then he says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus. Now you can read about him earlier in the book. It's a great text for men to study, especially Philippians 2, beginning at verse 25. Epaphroditus was one of the ministers at Philippi. I don't know if he was the pastor. He ended up in jail with Paul. And then one of the things Epaphroditus would do, perhaps, was like a financial minister of the church at Philippi. He says, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. The things that were sent from you. And so once and again, they sent to Paul's necessity, and Epaphroditus gathered up and carried them to Paul while he was doing the missionary work. Now the promise is then when we help the missionaries, I want you to notice in verse 19, we have this promise then for us. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God says, if you'll take care of my servants and my missionaries, I'll take care of you. That's why I have learned that $5 was nothing after a year. And $10, and $15, and $20, and $25, and $30, and $35, and $40, and $45, and $50, and $55, and $60, and $65, and $70. That's why I've learned as the years have been going on that I honestly have lived like I didn't even need that money. Why? Because it is God fulfilling his promise of verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And you can do it too. I know this is a brand new concept to you, but if you'll by faith trust God, and as we prayed earlier, say, Lord, what amount would you have me to trust now? Now listen, let me just plug this in here too. Husbands and wives. Some men have faith and women don't. Wives don't. Some wives have faith and husbands don't. Follow the one in this case who has the faith. Ladies, please, dear ladies, don't stop your husband from giving. Okay? If you don't have the faith to believe and you say, man, we need that money, blah, 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 let him go. Let him give and you see if God doesn't bless you. And 1 year from now, you see if you don't have a testimony how God blessed you and took care of you. Sometimes, for some reason, it's the lady who has the faith and says, we need to give to missions. We need to give to missions. And the Bible says husbands and wives ought to talk with each other at home about what they heard in church. You know, the Bible teaches that. And maybe the lady's the one who's got the faith. And men, you know, in that case, you know, follow the faith, give the missions, and see if in a year from now God doesn't bless you for it. But I want you to just notice a few things here before we get to the sheet. I want you to notice, first of all, the giver. First of all, number one, Roman numeral one, the giver. And let me make two sub-points. A, he is blessed in this life. And B, he is blessed in the next life. It says he is blessed in this life. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There is a God in heaven who cannot lie. And he says that if you will give once and again and again and again and help my missionaries out there who are trying to tell the precious story of my dear son to lost souls, if you'll give to that, I promise you, God says, you won't go broke. I'll meet your needs. So to the giver, there is the promise that you'll be blessed in this life. And then second of all, you'll be blessed in the next life. Verse 17, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, I want to challenge somebody this week to go down to Manhattan, go down on Wall Street, walk into the stock market exchange, and find one broker where all the greatest financial experts in the world meet every day, and walk up to them and said, sir, I have some money that I'd like to invest. Could you please, you know so much, you're here at Wall Street. Wall Street is booming. It's higher than it's ever been in history right now. You've got to be able to tell me, sir, what investment can I make that will pay off in this life and will pay off for me forever in eternity? Please tell me, sir. And that intelligent, educated broker, eyes will get this big and said, sir, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Ma'am, I can't help you. None of us here on Wall Street know how anyone can make such an investment. Well, this preacher knows, and everybody in this church knows, that we can make investments that will meet every need we have in this life, and there'll be an account waiting for us in the next life. The giver. And then notice the gift. Number two. A, it blessed Paul. Verse 18, but I have all and abound. B, it blessed God. The end of verse 18 says, well pleasing to God. Why do we exist? Revelation 4:11 tells us we are created for God's pleasure. This says it pleases God. The giver, blessed in the next life, blessed in this life, the gift, it blessed Paul, it blessed God. Now notice the giving. The giving. Verse 18 says this, I have received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. Sweet smell. You like sweet smells? That's what our giving is. I came home last week and this candle was burning on our table. If the portable mic was, I was going to go around and let you smell this. Blueberry muffin. Man, I came home and my knees got wobbly. So praise God, my wife made blueberry muffins. My ship has arrived. But it was this candle. But you know, this candle made me smile. That's nice. You know, one of the nice things about being married, you have a wife. And she can wear perfume. You can't put that on if you're a man. You know, some men, I guess, but if you have a wife, you can put it on. See, she can put it on. Man, that stuff smells good. It's good to have a wife that smells good. Amen. My wife was somewhere, and she'd come home smelling just like $1 million. Wow, what is that? She said, such and such. I don't know what the name it was. But so we got to get some of that. And so she said, well, I tried it on there because they told me it was $60 a bottle. I said, I don't know if we can afford that. But, you know, it was a sweet smell. You men... you know what I mean? You like your wife to smell good. You know, the church is the wife of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God's church gives to missions, you know what that is to Him? And that's nice. That's nice. It's not only a sweet smell, but B, it's a sacrifice acceptable. Verse 18. Sacrifice acceptable. And God just says, boy, I'm glad I'm married. I'm glad I married the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, a missions-given church. It smells so good to him. I don't know how else to illustrate it. I want you to look at this sheet in closing here. On the back of it, you'll see a chart that took a long time to make. And you'll see a circle on the inside of a small circle, and you'll see 77 arrows going out, if you count them, in different directions from that. Kind of looks like a wagon wheel here, but they're going to different directions. Now, these are what I called my missions giving, or 77 investments. As I give to missions every week, as you give to missions every week, that's going into a big pot. The circle on the inside is like the offering basket. And then the church takes all that money and we use it for what it is designated for. In other words, we don't go out, you know, and just buy things, whatever we want. We use it for the missions. And as far as I know, our church is 23 years old. As far as I know, we have never been late on a missionary check. The first of the month, the first checks we print are to the missionaries that we support around the world. In 23 years, we have never missed sending all the money that people gave faithfully to the missionaries. Did you ever go and maybe see a pond or a lake that was as still as glass? No wind, no disturbances, just as still as glass. And you reach down, you pick up a stone, and you take that stone, you throw it up in the air, and the stone goes up in the air, and then plink. Right in the middle of the pond, right in the middle of the lake, the stone falls. What effect does that have on the water? What's it called? The ripple effect, okay? It makes a small ripple, and then that makes another one, another one, another one, another one, until finally the entire pond, maybe not the whole lake, but the entire pond is filled with ripples. It just goes out and covers that. That's what we do here when we give the missions. Every week, I take money and I just kind of throw it right in the middle of the offering basket. And then that's put into the missions money, and then the trustees and the minister of finance take and count that money, put it in missions, and then the first of the month, it just goes in every direction, all over the world. If you look here, you'll see we have missionaries in every single time zone of the world. Now, under United States of America, notice it says 20 there. That doesn't mean they're all ministering in America. That means people like Larry Clayton, Michael Todd, Brother Belisle, other missionaries who are stationed in America, but they're going to Haiti, they're going to the Philippines, they're going to Canada, they're going to Iraq and delivering Bibles to people in Iraq. Okay, that's what some of those missionaries are right there. But because they're stationed, they work out of America, we put them there. And then Africa, and we got these alphabetical around Australian, Bulgarian, Cambodian, Canada, and so on and so forth, all the way to the Ukraine. And we're able to support 77 different missionary endeavors. Now, the reason being is because that's all the finances we have right now. We are stretched to the limit. We are stretched to the limit. We are not getting rich around here. As it comes out, it goes out. It comes in, it goes out. That's how we are with missions. But it's very simple. The more that comes in, the more missionaries we can support. The three families that were here a couple weeks ago, I think it'd be wonderful to support the Lacombs as they go to Thailand next month. Less than 1 month, they'll be flying to Bangkok and ministering in Thailand, trying to reach souls. And the Nortons will be going to Kyrgyzstan up near China, right on the western border of China. They'll be only the second missionary that we know of in that country of 7 million people in Kyrgyzstan. Do you think that's a need? Second missionary. We got two Baptist churches just in Eden alone. That's a need. See, I'm not begging for myself this morning, but I'll beg for the world. I'll beg for the world. And I'm not going to mention publicly the other missionary. You met him because of this is being recorded and the danger that they face where they're going. We'd like to help them. We'd like to help them. And so help me. We stretch this thing to the limit. You can ask Brother Frank, ask me, ask Pastor Seth, our missions director. we stretch this to the limit. I mean, we're holding our breath some months, saying, boy, we hope we get enough. We gotta help these missionaries. We can't fail these missionaries. We've got to send the missionaries the money once and again under their necessities so they can stay on the field and keep winning souls to Jesus Christ. There's a young lady stopped by our church. I don't know why. Her name's Michelle Ilardo. She stopped by this week and was talking to one of our secretaries. She just got married to Mike Ilardo. They're members down the road here at the Old Time Baptist Church. Good friends. Just got married about 3 weeks ago, and they went to New Zealand on their honeymoon. While they were in New Zealand, they stopped by and saw Mark and Amber Bushy. I remember Mark and Amber Bushy in the early 90s when they were going around on deputation. I remember how they stayed at our house. We had this cheap little couch that pulled out into a bed and the poor souls had to sleep on the thing. You could feel the springs up through it. We should have given them our bed. But they just got married, didn't have any kids. Now I think they got 4 or 5 kids. I don't know how many kids they got. But anyways, the Ilardos went down there on their honeymoon, stopped in, and Monday, Michelle was here at the church telling one of our sex, she was just raving. She just, you wouldn't believe what God is doing in New Zealand. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of souls are being saved. There's a church there now, and the church is packed with people, and they're getting people saved in New Zealand and baptized and discipled and trained for the ministry. And I can remember when Mark and Amber Bushy just came through here and presented their need to us and said, you know, if there's any way you could ever help us, we sure would appreciate it. We're going down there to share the gospel. Now, what I just explained to you, described as just one of my 77 investments. Just one. Our time's up. I could talk to you about more of them. But the mission letters are back there if you take time to read them. That's just one of my investments. My investments are doing pretty good. Thank you. Praise the Lord. And all of you that give to missions. Now, last year we had 71 cards that we received for missions. And that helped us to help a lot of people, a lot of missionaries. And we'd like you to do your part. Anything you can do now, and we're going to pass the plates in just a minute, will be a sweet-smelling savor. And the sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. It says so right there, verse number 18. There's a card behind you, no manipulation. If you want to write down zero, write down zero. There's cards in the balcony. Pass them out to everybody. They're on the ledge. On the other side, I didn't have time for that, but here's their names. Now, I was on my knees praying early this morning. This is a calendar with all the missionaries we support, and their names are in there. Guess who I prayed for this morning on 22nd? Go ahead and look at your calendar. Who's on there? New Zealand, the Bushies. I was praying for them this morning. Oh, no, they changed the guy. I got a different calendar. Bushies are tomorrow. I got the old calendar. We just made, this is a new one. I got the old calendar at home. They're tomorrow. Just praying for them. Just praying for them. See, I'm investing my prayers. You're investing your prayers and your money to help these missionaries. And what wonderful, wonderful testimonies. And God just, when our church gives the missions, this little church in Eden, he says, boy, I'm glad I married them. That sure smells good. That's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice acceptable. That's what it needs to be. That's why every year I try to kind of go to the limit, my human limits. I don't look at it at what can I afford. That wouldn't be faith if I looked at it and said, what can I afford? That would be sight, wouldn't it? And I put my card in last week, and maybe you'll put yours in now. That's going to be our invitation. After we leave, we're going to leave in a few minutes. I'll be here if you need to be saved, if you need to talk to me about baptism, church membership, if you need someone to pray with you. If you don't know for sure, if you die today, that you go to heaven, forget about this missions giving stuff, okay? Find out about the greatest gift ever when God gave his son. You know, he that spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him richly give us all things? He'll give you eternal life if you'll ask him. But please, you children that are here today, again, you teenagers, I want to encourage you to have your part in Faith Promise Missions Given. If you're not ready, let the plate go by. Nobody's going to look down on you. But we'll have our piano player come and play a song. Our ushers are going to come, and I'm going to have a word of prayer. And we'll have a song, and when the plates get to the back, you'll be dismissed. Men, I got to have men tonight for this intensive training. We got a big vision for the future. We got to start training men today if it's going to happen. 5:30, evening service is at 6:30 tonight. You want to be here for that. But let's just pray right now, and while we're praying, fill out your cards and put the right, there's no place for your name. It's between you and God. If you're not ready to do anything, don't do anything. But let me pray. Our Father, I've tried to preach my heart out. Lord, we have the pattern in the Scriptures. Not only do we have the pattern of the Philippian church sending once and again to the necessity of the Apostle Paul, but we also have the promise that you will supply every need we have in this life, and we will have fruit on our account. And there is no broker or corporation on earth that can give a human being that promise. But you're a God that can't lie. We thank you. And now, Lord, I believe it is your will that our church send once and again unto the necessities of these missionaries. Lord, bless, lay on our hearts, help people as they're filling out their cards now. Lord, help us to keep our commitments. And Lord, I want to pray right now the blessing of God upon everyone that they would see. Lord, I heard about someone recently that started giving. And just a few weeks later, got a raise of pay at work. And Lord, we've heard dozens and dozens of testimonies like that, where we almost think it's a step of faith, but when it's all over with, we think that was nothing. So bless this offering now of cards, this offering of ourselves. May it be a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing to God. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you play, and then we'll be dismissed in a moment.